Hello and welcome to the REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Borks from Quito. Today I'm joined by Julie Whelan, Head of Occupiers Research for the Americas at CBRE, to look at the impact of the coronavirus on long-term real estate planning, specifically in the office sector. Julie, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Sarah. Great to be here.
Now, CBRE recently released a survey of 126 global companies about their perspective on the future of the U.S. office market. First of all, how did the respondents see the business environment, and how does it shape their ability to make decisions about real estate strategy?
Great question, Sarah. So what our clients are telling us through this survey is that they see that over the next 6 months, the business environment is going to be, in many cases, they believe it's going to be better, and in some cases, they believe it's going to be at least the same. Very few actually think it's going to be worse, which is positive. Now, more importantly, almost, many felt that they were confident to really formulate long-term real estate strategy, even amidst a pandemic, and they did feel that there was going to be a significant impact to that strategy moving forward. Now, I would caution that that was sentiment as of when the survey closed, which was June 17th, and it could be different today. If you look at what's happening in the market, on one hand, the pandemic has continued, unfortunately, to spike here in the U.S. Jobless claims as of just yesterday have recently ticked up, and the initial stimulus is set to expire, all things that had been looking better in the June 17th timeframe. But on the other hand, the stock market has been resilient over the last month. More stimulus, we know, is coming. And corporates do seem to be somewhat insulated from layoffs. And there is hope for a vaccine. There are hopes that it is going to be here sooner than later. So clearly, there's a lot of volatility with what our corporates are actually contending with today that could play with their sentiment really on a daily basis. But what I would say is that typically, right, decisions are made with the best interests of shareholders in mind. They're made with the best interests of employees in mind. And what we see happening today are very tactical decisions, decisions that are centered around time-sensitive things like renewals, any kind of optimization strategies and plays that focus around renegotiations and consolidations. Decisions that instill any kind of long-term change, like relocations, like expansions, are very much on pause today. That's not to say there's no growth happening, because there were some things that were in play pre-COVID that are continuing to play out today and are actually not being canceled. And there are some industries like life sciences that are in a growth mode that are dependent on physical space for success that we do see leasing happening with right now. So it's quite an interesting story with our clients and their sentiment and the behavior that's coming from that.
And have you seen a change in the importance of real estate within the larger context of a company's overall strategy?
Well, it's very early days, and I try to remember that in the U.S., there are billions of square feet that are occupied here. Now, the role that space plays is no doubt up for discussion and debate right now, but I would say that first and foremost, our clients are signaling to us that the physical space is still going to remain an important part of their strategy. But what's happening is that there are other strategies that are impacting the workplace right now that are rising in the agenda. These strategies have to do with what we all hear about every day in the media, seemingly, when it comes to real estate, which is, are employees going to have full autonomy from the physical office and be able to operate outside of it on a full-time basis? Or at the very least, are they going to have some choice over when they go to the physical office? So the office is now becoming just one place among a network of locations where work gets done. So, of course, the role of it is going to accordingly change. But to say its importance will change is a little bit of an overstatement right now, and I think a little bit premature.
Mm-hmm. And as companies try and map out their likely office real estate needs for the near and medium term, what are some of the conflicting issues that they are facing?
That's a great question. And I would say that there is some conflicts that I see that are universally true across a lot of our corporate clients that are charting out strategies right now. Number one, there's a realization that their organizations can and frankly are running effectively in remote environments. and that their employees actually want to do it, not just on a part-time basis in now, but also on a part-time basis in the future, even when COVID is only a memory. So this isn't something that is just sort of a necessity for now. It's something that I think that organizations and employees want to do in the future. It gives employees better balance to their life. And more importantly, it also instills a lot of trust between employees and employers, which we have found from past studies is actually a key to increasing engagement of employees. Now, that work from home kind of strategy, remote work strategy, conflicts though with the need and the desire of people to connect with each other on a human level. So connecting in the real world versus only in the virtual world. And pre-COVID, I would say that organizations were moving to models that were less hierarchical, they were less routine driven, and they were much flatter and much more project driven. And so what that means is that there was a need for a lot of the buzzwords that we hear every day, right? Collaboration, productivity, innovation. And those needs weren't only desired, but they're absolutely a necessity under the new models by which organizations are operating. And so that conflict is real. And what I think it's going to do is spur a lot of innovation in terms of the tools that we use every day, the technology that we use every day, and even how our physical workspaces really tie the physical and the digital world together to drive all of this interaction much more seamlessly. And then lastly, I would say that at the same time, you know, real estate decisions right now are being made because of market timing, right? So we have endured as tenants 10 years of a growth cycle, which has been great for the real estate industry overall. But from a tenant position, it doesn't always put them in the spot that they want to be from a negotiation standpoint. And now that they're moving into a more favorable position in most markets, they want to ensure that they're striking necessary deals at the right time, which can at times bring up conflict over market timing and what decisions they should be making when. So I would say that those are the biggest conflicts that I'm seeing right now amongst occupiers.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of the key findings of the survey regarding the appeal of the hybrid work model?
Yep, so there were a few key findings that came across very loud and clear. The first is that most organizations are at least analyzing what the impacts of this more remote workforce is going to do to their strategy. We asked the question, in a pre-COVID state, was there a future for remote work in your organization? And only 10% of organizations said that pre-COVID there was a future of remote work. Today, 70% of organizations, so sentiment has drastically shifted, said that there is now a future for full-time remote work in their organization. So clearly, there are a lot of conversations happening at the C-suite level. There are a lot of fluid decisions being made, and it seems that sentiment has clearly shifted from a culture where remote work maybe used to be not sought after to now one where organizations are wanting or understanding that it is going to be more a part of their strategy. But it's important to dig a little bit more into that and talk about employee choice versus employer choice over that remote work. And I think that a lot of organizations realize that what this COVID era is doing is pushing them to loosen their expectations of employees and those expectations to come into a physical office every day. And it seems that employees are largely going to be able to choose when they wake up in the morning what works for them. Do they want to come into the office? Do they want to work at home? Do they want to work from a third location? And I do expect, though, that with that choice, there will be an expectation for them to come into the office in some kind of a regular basis. But what's an important nuance there is that only 25% of organizations are allowing their employees to be able to choose to work remotely on a full-time basis. And so what that tells me is that they're keeping the reins on what functions they're going to allow to work remotely based on the job requirements, based on the performance of the person, which is going to be increasingly more important, and based on the culture of the company. So I think that, you know, one of the important things to remember is that organizations have really succeeded in this experiment because they're working with people under a remote work environment that is forced right now, that had already developed relationships prior to COVID. And so as new employees are onboarded, there's going to be a lot more difficulty in achieving that kind of culture and getting to know each other in purely a remote work environment. And interestingly, I onboarded somebody the first week of shutdown. It was totally obviously unintentional. It just happened, mm-hmm. and I was lucky to get them on board at all. And it has been very challenging, and there has had to be a very concerted effort to bring him into the fold, which we have successfully done. But I don't think that the work that that takes should be underestimated, and only time is going to prove to people how difficult that can actually be.
Right. Now, in light of all these potential changes, how do you see the role of the physical office evolving, and what are some of the key design changes that we might see?
Sure. So, again, pre-COVID, workplace transformation was very, very prevalent. We asked a question, and 83% of respondents said that pre-COVID, they were undergoing some sort of major change to their workplace. And so the question is, as we continue to progress through this interim state, how are we going to reach a steady state? What is it going to look like? And I would say that there were a couple trends that we saw playing out that I think that will continue to play out, but with a tad bit of uncertainty right now. One, activity-based work was a trend, and it has to continue to be. For those that don't know what activity-based work is, it's a model by which really employees can freely work in different environments within their office space depending on what they want to accomplish. So think that there's some areas for collaboration, there's some areas for privacy, there's some areas for focus, socialization, there's tech-driven spaces. You sort of move throughout your office environment as you might move throughout your home and use different rooms for different things. And this type of space has a mix of enclosed and open spaces that employees are free to use. Now, additionally, what makes these environments operate efficiently is that they're best used in an unassigned model. And what that is one where employees really don't have a dedicated seat in the physical office, but they share space in the office. And I think that a lot of clients are realizing now that under a more hybrid work scenario, where not everybody is showing up every day, that there's a certain amount of space sharing that's absolutely necessary in order to use space efficiently. And so all of those trends I actually do see as accelerating in the future. But I do think that the model is going to remain prevalent. But our clients are signaling that there is some uncertainty there. And I think that the reason for that uncertainty is because there's a lot of health and safety questions right now that really surround indoor shared environments. And so some of the changes that I think we're going to see that's going to overcome some of that is more focus on air filtration, more focus on cleaning protocols. I also think that there's going to be a more focus on the use of occupancy sensors to bring data to actually understand how space is being used to make sure that it's being used efficiently. And I also think that there are going to be more apps that we see that better connect workforces to each other and to their building to do things as simple as ordering coffee and even finding each other to understand, you know, where you go sit in that shared environment. So those are some of the design changes that I see that will accelerate and that will perhaps change as a result of this.
Mm-hmm. And do you see a role for suburban or satellite offices within this new environment?
Yes. So I would say that that is potentially the second most opinionated discussion that is out there after the remote work one. Recently, I have had discussions with some very seasoned brokers in Chicago and New York that do not think that that's a trend. And I've had discussions with others in Boston who absolutely believe it's a trend. And the reason that I share that is because there is not a lot of consensus in this area right now. So I can give you my personal view on it, which is that I think it's early to speculate with any kind of certainty. But there are some statistics that tell us that the gap between the downtown vacancy rates and the suburban vacancy rates had been closing prior to the pandemic. We just closed out our Q2 numbers, and we know that rents in downtown markets and vacancy in downtown markets have been affected more deeply to date than suburban markets. It's important to note that that is consistent with prior downturns, so not necessarily specific to this one, but at least that tells me that the suburban markets are in the game. And I also, in my own mind, try to separate out what may be an uptick in activity in the suburbs versus a boom that will discount downtown markets. I don't think that downtown markets are ever going to get discounted through this. But I do think that there are certain geographies where you have very onerous commute times, there are large suburban populations of workers, and there are live, work, play environments that are conducive to people wanting to be around it and not needing, you know, the city every day to get that sort of aspect to their life. And I think that those are geographies that could see an uptick in activity, not necessarily uptick from a suburban campus of the 70s and 80s, but really uptick in terms of satellite locations in these densely populated areas of the suburbs that can satisfy a more hybrid workforce that on one hand don't want to commute into a downtown office every day, but also might not be very efficient working from home given the demands that sometimes home life can bring on. And so I do think that there is going to be some interesting innovation that comes into the suburban markets, but very specific ones that surround very specific geographies.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything else that you'll be watching closely as you monitor changes within the office sector?
Sure. So flexible office space is one of my favorites. So think co-working, what most people call it. And I study it very closely. Up until, I would say, late 2019, it was a sector that was on fire. It was growing by leaps and bounds. And COVID has impacted that sector for sure. It was already impacted for various market dynamic reasons before COVID, and COVID has additionally impacted it because it's really challenged the core of what makes flexible office space work, right? Short-term agreements. During a government shutdown and a recessionary period, the short-term agreement nature of flex was an easy out for members. And also shared space, which in light of the science and the psychology behind the pandemic, it's not favored. So flexible office space has had a hard time during this because of those two things. But I know from our survey results that there's still a strong need for our organizations to use that space because they want to manage volatile headcount, they have short-term requirements, they might need satellite locations that we talked about. And so leasing has been very anemic the last three quarters. Our Q2 numbers just came in, I think, at around 300,000 square feet was committed to, and that used to be about 4 million to 5 million square feet a quarter. So leasing clearly has dried up. But I do think that there's going to be some really interesting innovations that come from that sector that are going to continue to shape our landscape going forward. Additionally, I think that great office space is space that's going to have the right technology. It's going to have the right wellness features and the amenities and designs that are going to be so highly sought after in the future. And I think that this ultimately is going to continue to grow disparity between pricing and vacancy levels, between really great space and lower class space that actually could grow into obsolescence faster now, that people are going to be much more discerning over what they need. But generally, I think that we all need to remember that innovation was something that was finally being seen in our sector in the years that were leading up to this pandemic. And I do think it's only going to accelerate coming off the back of the pandemic. And to me, that provides a lot of optimism for all of us, and it just might be a bit of a tighter race to get there is my view of things, but there still will be a lot of business to be had.
Great. Julie, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Great. Thanks, Sarah.
And for more news and analysis on REITs and listed real estate, be sure to visit NAREIT's website, REIT.com.